Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
From WNYC New York Public Radio, this is The Brian Lehrer Show. I'm Brian Lehrer. This is just one segment of our show, but every interview is available on demand at WNYC.org. This on-demand service is made possible by WNYC and its listeners, so please help support this free service by becoming a member at WNYC.org.
WNYC On Demand is supported by Open, how American Express serves small business. Open offers a range of products and services designed exclusively for small business. Details at 888-779-OPEN or open.com.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Don't forget, coming up in 20 minutes, we will have two members of the Iraq Study Group on this program, Leon Panetta and Sandra Day O'Connor. They will be with us live. Stay tuned for that 20 minutes from now. But right now, we begin a series on the legacy of George Pataki, 12 years in office as governor of New York. We begin with one of Pataki's most powerful aides. Charles Gargano was a top fundraiser for Pataki in his election to become governor, and he's been chairman of Pataki's Empire State Development Corporation, which has been involved in projects from Ground Zero redevelopment to the Atlantic Yards proposal in Brooklyn, to the proposed Moynihan Station to replace Penn Station, and so much more. But speaking on this program before the election, Elliot Spitzer said Governor Pataki has spent too much money on the wrong development priorities and too little on the right ones. For example,
where they have not been active and where there has been a void has been in the area of affordable housing. The state has not done what it could be doing. We have large pieces of property. We have capital at our disposal. We have zoning opportunities in terms of state-owned properties, carrot and sticks that we can use with localities. Those are the policy tools we have. If we want to relieve the affordable housing crisis, long term, the only way to do it is to add units, hundreds of thousands of units. This is a major policy area that we have to think about.
So change may be in the future for development New York style. In the meantime, we welcome back Empire State Development Corporation Chairman Charles Gargano. Chairman, welcome back to WNYC.
Good to be here, Brian.
Want to begin by responding to Elliot Spitzer there?
Well, listen, I think the governor-elect certainly should pursue that if it's something that he believes in, that it's needed. And I also agree that affordable housing is needed. I know some of the issues on Long Island, as an example, a great community, nearly 3 million people. A lot of young people are leaving because they just can't afford to live on Long Island, as one example. So I hope that the governor-elect does address that. You know, for 12 years, Governor Pataki has addressed many, many issues, and I could be here all day telling you what he has done, but we'll go on.
Well, take a few minutes and give us the big picture, according to you, of the Pataki administration's accomplishments.
First of all, can I clear something up? Yeah. Just one thing about when I'm introduced as a fundraiser. Number one, I was Pataki's finance chairman, official finance chairman of the campaign in 1994, and there were hundreds of fundraisers who were involved in the process. So I just want to get that. I don't know where that description comes from, but I was finance chairman of the campaign.
Well, finance chairman would be a top fundraiser, wouldn't it?
Well, it's someone who directs the fundraising, indeed, right, but does not go door-to-door soliciting. We have hundreds of people doing that. But anyway, having said that, I believe that if you look at the record of Governor Pataki, when we came into office in January 1 of 95, the state had lost more than 400,000 to 500,000 jobs. When the rest of the country had been coming out of recession, New York State was not. Today, in spite of 9/11, we do have a plus of nearly 650,000 new private sector jobs. Governor Pataki has reduced the welfare rolls from, I believe, it was 1.4 million to about 300,000. 1.1 million less people on welfare now because they are able to work. And all people have pride in themselves, and they want jobs, they want to work, and they're doing that. Governor Pataki has reduced taxes by more than $100 billion, all sorts of taxes since he has become governor. He has acquired nearly 1 million acres, a little under 1 million acres of land that are going to be land that will be preserved forever for the state of New York. He's a very strong environmentalist. Crime is down substantially around the state, not only in New York City, which certainly we're all pleased about as someone who lives here. I'm very happy about that because the city has never been cleaner and safer. Crime is down nearly 47% because of legislation that was passed. That's just an example of many of the things. Now, the tabloids, of course, don't give him that credit. But when you look at the facts of George Pataki and this administration, what has been accomplished, it has been tremendous.
Well, certainly on some of those things, a lot of conventional wisdom would be that the new jobs are mostly in New York City, a function of the market, they would say, more than a function of state government, crime being down. If they're from government policy, they're from Comstat and other things at the municipal level rather than the state level.
They are not all in New York City. That certainly is not accurate. Jobs that have been created are statewide wide as a result of the economic policies that Governor Pataki had throughout these 12 years.
So wasn't the problems in the upstate economy one of the primary reasons that voters opted for a change of party this year?
Well, let me say that was the case 12 years ago. That was the case 30 years ago. Look, throughout this country, people are moving from the north to the south. One of the reasons why Florida is the fourth most populous state and will probably be third in the next 5 or 10 years. And places like Nevada, I'm not making excuses, but it's just that you cannot have a increase in your economy if you have a decrease in population. That's one of the problems we have upstate. We have a decreasing population. We have had a tremendous emphasis on creating jobs and helping Buffalo, as an example, the second largest city in the state. And one of the reasons why Governor Pataki chose to have centers of excellence throughout the state is to bring high technology into those areas like Buffalo in New York and Rochester and Albany, is because we are going through a transformation from a manufacturing area to technology. It's almost akin to what happened 100 years ago when we were primarily farmers in this country, and then we changed to an industrialized. We have to make these transition, restructuring, if you will, and Governor Pataki has done a very good job of that.
And we can take phone calls for Charles Gargano, outgoing chairman of the Empire State Development Corporation, the first in a series of conversations that we'll have between now and the end of the year on the legacy of George Pataki after 12 years as governor. 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. So in the development realm itself, you know, I mentioned at the beginning there are big projects on the table. I think you're Commission aboard is going to vote tomorrow on Atlantic Yards. We'll get to that. Ground Zero was under your purview. Moynihan Station, Westside Stadium, all the stuff that's in the news all the time. What do you see as the big accomplishments?
Javits Center, Queens West, 42nd Street. I mean, we can go on and on. Empire State Development Corporation, the authority that I've had the honor and pleasure to serve as chairman and CEO, never in its history has it had as many projects as it's had during the last 12 years. You can start with 42nd Street, a project that everyone wants to take credit for, but let me just assure you that project was laying idle for 14 years and had constant changes. And when the deal was made with Disney in April of 1995, we were on our way. Rebecca Robinson, who was working in a previous administration as president, I said to her, I don't care what your party affiliation is. If you want to build this project, I'll keep you on. And I did. And it was the right decision because we worked together and got 42nd Street done. And
Was there a key to getting that one unstuck?
Absolutely, there was a key.
What?
Number one, the key was to bring credibility to the street. And you had to give the private sector confidence that they would come there. And when we made the deal with Disney in April of 95, Disney demanded the cleanup. The blight had to be out of there. All of these things, and people then, and then Condé Nast came and wanted their headquarters there. These were the catalysts that brought the private sector in. And Brian, as you know, you have to give that confidence level to the private sector to invest billions of dollars.
Go ahead. You feel strongly about this. You had another one.
Excuse me?
Another one after 42nd Street.
Oh, 42nd Street. I mean, look, Queens West, all the big developers in New York City were saying to me in Manhattan, were saying, you'll never build anything at Queens West. Look over at Queens West now. You'll see six towers going up out of 19 and developing waterfronts. Hudson River Park, which we started at Empire State Development Corporation, a beautiful park. Bikeway going from Battery Park up to Riverside is another project. The Javits expansion. which had been talked about for years and really never looked at as being important. We thought it was very important. We are now starting work on the expansion of the Javits, doubling the size. Brooklyn Bridge Park is another project that we're doing. We focused on 125th Street. We focused on downtown Buffalo, USA Niagara, where we are now rebuilding Niagara Falls on the American side, where we're going, it's doing quite well. And there are so many projects that I can talk about. These were just a sampling of the billions of dollars in programs, and as you said before, stabilizing and bringing back the economy of Ground Zero in Lower Manhattan.
Well, people consider that a failure of the Pataki administration, by and large.
Well, I'd like to know where the failure is.
Well, it's been slow. It's been contentious.
It has not been slow. It has been, I'm sorry, I don't mean to be arrogant, but it is misunderstood. Look, my background is civil engineering and construction. I can tell you that this is only 5 years later. We had 2 years of cleaning up, rebuilding the path line, rebuilding destroyed subway lines, and then design. And if someone thinks that 3 years of planning and designing 10 million square feet of space in Lower Manhattan, the equivalent of all of downtown Baltimore, and to have it done right, something that we will be very, very proud of, 3 years is nothing. It's a drop in the bucket. Today, there is so much work going on at Ground Zero. Next year, people will be complaining, I guarantee you, that there's too much going on in Lower Manhattan. By 2012, we will have a development that all New Yorkers can be very proud of, and that leadership was provided by George Pataki.
Josh in Manhattan. You're on WNYC with George Pataki's Empire State Development Corporation Chairman Charles Gargano. Hello, Josh.
Hi, Mr. Gargano. I appreciate the opportunity. I have some specific questions about Moynihan Station. I'm a commuter in New York, and Penn Station is one of the most congested and poorly designed spaces in the city. I believe it's the most busy transit hub in Manhattan. And I'm just wondering why that's been such a difficult project to get moving forward. It seems that in the paper, one man, Sheldon Silver, has the ability to stop that whole project. And I'd appreciate a little bit of an explanation on that.
Thank you for the question, Josh. It's a very good one. It's you are so right. Penn Station is a disgrace as our major station here, train station in New York City. One of the reasons why we acquired the Folly Building is so that we can build the Moynihan project first, and then while we have that for people to be able to negotiate their trains, we could then start rebuilding Penn Station, a station that was designed many, many years ago to accommodate 200,000 people, and today they have to accommodate more than 500,000 people. And then, of course, the second disgrace was tearing down that great building that we had, the great Penn Station building. So be it. We're there now with something that looks like feels like you're walking through a cave. The process we have, the Public Authority Control Board, where one of the three, the governor, the majority leader, the Senate, or the Speaker, can knock down a project, is a terrible, dysfunctional process.
One of the things that you hope Elliot Spitzer will change.
I sure do, and listen, I'm a New Yorker. I want a governor-elect and Governor Spitzer to do a good job. I want it to be successful. That's more important to me than what party's affiliated with him. But let me go back to this for a moment. Sheldon Silver has called me all kinds of names because I criticized him for 2 weeks, and then he called me corrupt.
Right.
Without any facts whatsoever. That's an awful thing to do. That's about as much as a joke as it was when he said, I can't vote for the project. It's not what the developers want to build. We don't care what the developers want to build. We are the public authority. We want to build something that's for the public benefit. And Moynihan Station must be built. You cannot do anything to Penn Station until that's built first.
Why do you think he's blocking it? And I'll tell you my observation about Silver and the West Side Stadium, which is that he used his authority to block that because he didn't want the office space competition with his district in Lower Manhattan. I thought it was parochial in that respect on his part. But maybe you have another view. And do you think there's something in it for Sheldon Silver or his constituents by blocking Moynihan Station?
There was no question. First of all, the Jet Stadium is one thing. That was a disappointment. But we're talking about a train station here. something that's so very important for the people that travel.
The issue is Madison Square Garden, right? And whether they
of course it is. He's clearly calling me corrupt. I'll tell you something. It will come out, I guarantee you, sooner or later, that he's being influenced by Madison Square Garden for a number of reasons. And I think that is being looked into as we speak. And we'll find out who is corrupt because there are a lot of things going on there with Madison Square Garden where he is tied to them. His former chief of staff is working there as a lobbyist. His daughter works there. There are other things involved. Now, I would not even say these things. I never have said that before about his daughter, although he thinks I did. I did not. But to call me corrupt without any bet, it's a joke as much as it is the joke that he knocked down his project.
Corrupt is a strong word, but are you calling him corrupt too, or just saying he has interests that you don't think are in the public interest?
Well, listen, I never found out why he called me corrupt. He said something that I was a fundraiser. He said something that I wanted gambling. We have no knowledge of any of that. But the reality is that you shouldn't get into those name-calling things. I think what we have to do is do what's best for the people of New York. And what's best for the people of New York is to build Moynihan Station now. You cannot do anything to improve, as Josh just rightfully said, that Penn Station needs to be improved. It cannot be done until you build Moynihan first. And just one last thing to Josh. One of the reasons, Josh, why we had a delay is the Postal Service originally was just going to lease us 40% of the building, and then they stopped the negotiations after 9/11. They came back, and we offered to buy the entire building to help them with their budgetary problems, and that's why we're moving forward with the project. And we could be doing construction right now if Sheldon Silva, for his own selfish reasons, did not reject the project.
We are running out of time so quickly, and then our next guest will be Leon Panetta and Sandra Day O'Connor, two of the members of the Iraq Study Group, so stay tuned for that. We'll finish up with Charles Gargano, the chairman of the Empire State Development Corporation, outgoing in that position as the Pataki administration ends. And I just want to get to Atlantic Yards. Is your final approval vote tomorrow?
Yes, Friday we have a board meeting at 3:30 to approve the final general project plan.
And that's definitely going to be a yes?
Well, we don't know. We'll see. Right now, all of the board members have been given material in advance to review, and then it'll be up to the board members to vote yes or no.
Part of that vote is any condemnations that you decide are needed. Does that mean seizing property under eminent domain?
At this point, we have not used to date any eminent domain condemnation.
And you don't anticipate a vote on anything like that tomorrow?
No, there is nothing about that tomorrow.
Silver supports this project, I understand. So, do you expect final approval, before the governor's term is up?
Well, you know, Brian, I don't want to talk about the governor's term. He is still the governor. Should we stop work now because his term is going to be up?
I'm asking you if this is going to get done.
I hope so. We intend to, if it's approved tomorrow at the board, we intend to move it to the Public Authority Control Board for the December meeting, which I believe is December 20th.
Elliot Spitzer has expressed concerns in the past about how much money the state might need to contribute in the future to Atlantic Yards, although he too supports the project. Do you think those numbers are rock solid?
We think so. We've hired financial consultants to review those numbers, as we do in every other phase of a project. We hire the experts from the outside to make sure that everything is in order and we are comfortable with the information, and in this case, with the financial numbers. So, look, I understand that he's going to be the governor, so he should be concerned. But I think I would like to say to Governor-elect Spitzer that we have done everything possible to make sure that the numbers are good.
Well, as I said, this is the first of a series of conversations on the legacy of George Pataki. Charles Gargano, outgoing Empire State Development Corporation chief, thank you for being so accessible over the years. Thank you for coming in.
Thank you, Brian, for giving me the opportunity.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, Sandra Day O'Connor and Leon Panetta next. Thanks for listening to The Brian Lehrer Show from WNYC New York Public Radio. You can hear everything we do and check out our other programs on demand at WNYC.org or on iTunes. This on-demand service is made possible by WNYC and its listeners, so please help support this free service by becoming a member at WNYC.org. And thanks.